Let's begin.
Welcome to Build an Agency, a podcast where we talk about the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, growth tactics, building businesses, and the events that affect your company. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to the podcast. We are on episode 11, and I'm sitting here in the studio with Attilia.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. I hope you guys have just literally been dominating whatever day you're listening to this, because we have just been crushing this last week, and it just feels phenomenal. Really hitting some huge clientele that we've been talking to, starting to pull some major triggers. It feels really good when you start pulling those strings that you kind of have hanging around, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got clients that you've had prospected for a long time, and you're actually finally sitting in the meetings and making the moves happen, and things are working in our favor, so it's great.
Yeah, I definitely like it. And honestly, I low-key, sort of high-key, love the build-up process. Like, before you go talk or pitch yourself to a client, just kind of like the research, understanding their industry. It feels really good. It makes me feel happy. Do you like that kind of stuff?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think it's fun, and I think you get hyped up, but what's kind of funny is it almost never turns out the way you plan, but, the preparation I think is still valuable.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It really helps you like get to know the client and all that. Like what goes into meeting prep for Hone?
I guess it depends how much stuff they need or could use. And so we generally qualify people based on revenue. So how much annual revenue they have. And what that means is that we can kind of discern sort of the value of what our services would look like for them. So depending on how much value we could provide, we sort of tailor a campaign around that and then charge the price. But generally, for me, like specifically myself, I like going into a meeting having a very good understanding of the industry, the competitors of the client that we're talking to.
Yeah.
Revenue growth, key revenue growth periods, maybe like highest margin services or items. So how does the company make money, right? I mean, we're a marketing company, so we need to make people money, right? We're in the business of building businesses, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so we need to know all that stuff. We need to know like all those key points and what they are trying to do. So the client's goals as well. So if you bring up one of their goals and they didn't even mention it, and they're like, wow, these guys are super intuitive on what we want to do. These guys totally understand our initiatives. They see what we're going after and they're innovative in their approach. You seem like a huge expert at that point.
So for sure.
I think those are really kind of our key points when it comes to the pre-pitch. And then, of course, knowing your selling points. So knowing your selling points and knowing where you can add value.
Sure. Like what I like the most about how at least we do meeting prep is you and I have a chance to really flesh out, like, you know, what's the lowest price we were willing to go, and what are like all of like the variable, you know, offers that we can offer to this client during this meeting, depending on how, you know, the chips fall. What is the deal we're trying to make, and what is the one that we can, you know, make if we have to, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like there's no surprises in the meeting. Like you're not going to say anything in the meeting that's going to shock me, and vice versa. Like no one's going to go off the handle, and we're not going to have to make a deal on the fly in front of the client. It's good just to kind of come to the table and just kind of know, you know, where do you stand on the project? How much is the project going to cost? How much margin do you want to make?
Yeah, and all those parameters.
It all has to be discussed and talked about, especially like I said, if you're going there with two people, you know what I mean, representing your company, everyone needs to be on the same, you know, the same page.
Yeah, so. I actually made a really big mistake once like that, and it was a really big client. It was one of our first really big clients, and I consider it a mistake. It's not like it was devastating or anything, but I made an offer for a price reduction that, I mean, it was a good deal, but we hadn't thought of it before. So it was kind of like an off the hinge, like on the fly sort of, I guess, discount for like a long-term project, like if they lock in for a long-term. But I wouldn't say I regret doing it, but it could have been done more gracefully and in a way that would have favored us better because the sale was already made. So that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Don't add value when you don't have to add value. Know when you've made the sale and know when you need to change some parameters because, you know, someone's asking, is there anything you can do with the price? And you're just like, oh, no, not really. You know, you don't have to be like, oh, I can give you a 20% discount. Oh, yeah. And also a week free. But not only that, but
after you already closed.
Yeah. After you've already closed, you know, so
how much money do you think we've lost in that?
Not too much.
What's the cost of our mistake?
The cost of our mistake, it's only been, 4 months. So the cost of our mistake is probably about $2,000 really.
Okay.
It's not like I'm losing sleep over it,
yeah.
But, you know, has an extra $2,000.
To keep in mind, like that could have gone into an ad budget, you know, and, yeah, it's just knowing when to add the value and
when you've already made the sale.
When you've already made the sale and just shut up and ride it out.
Yeah. So and maybe it was because I was eager to get the sale maybe it was just because I was like, yeah, we can do something with the price. Like, honestly, we were still solidifying our prices then. So it's
we needed the client, man. Like it was a big paying job and it was a well-known client and. We really needed the opportunity, and I said it, you know, now, and I said it back then, like we're gonna make more money off of this client's like name.
Yeah, and we actually are because we're talking to probably one of the largest clients that we could talk to
here in Lubbock.
Here in Lubbock, and the biggest. I actually think the biggest factor that we're talking to them is because we have that other client. So. It's worth it.
Yeah, for sure. It's all a learning experience, and it's all trial and error. But yeah, so meetings are crazy. So we had some good meetings this week. Like he said, we met up with that really large client for lunch. It was good. We've got a follow-up meeting on Wednesday. We're excited.
Yeah, stay tuned because that could be like – that could actually mean our business multiplies by 10, like literally with one contract. And it's not like we're making peanuts right now or anything. I mean, this guy is just absolutely a mammoth fish. This is so out of bounds for us. Not in a bad way. It's just, it's not characteristic to our average customer size.
Yeah.
So we're really excited.
I can't even fathom having a bigger client, honestly.
Well, a bigger client would be like a Fortune 500.
I know.
So a bigger, like literally bigger than him is a Fortune 500. So that's
insane.
Yeah. And absolutely exciting and terrifying. Humbling, like terrifying and humbling at the same time. Like it's a beautiful, beautiful, blade storm, I guess. Like
well, I'm confident like that. That's the thing. Like I'm not like. Freaking out about like, oh, can we fulfill this contract? It's so huge. It's like,
yeah, we got
you know,
the,
we're gonna,
you we know, got the manpower.
We're gonna bring some dudes on, and we know what we're doing, and we're confident. But yeah, we're really really stoked to get this dude under our belt and like get it rolling, man.
Dude, like actually slay it. Like seriously, like I don't know how else to describe it. I sincerely want to. Whoever is listening right now, project the fact that if you start pulling strings, you too could land some high value projects. And I would love to talk to you guys if you have any questions on how to sell for value rather than your hourly price. I would love to maybe have some kind of podcast dedicated to that. Maybe if we have some Q&A stuff built in at some point. Well, but.
Sidebar, let's actually build that up a little bit. So. Why does somebody need to price for value instead of hourly? Like, have you ever? Let's use an example of two graphic designers. Okay. So graphic designer A has got an hourly rate, and he spends, you know, 3 days coming up with a valuable logo for a company, and he's got X price. And then you have another graphic designer who is actually better than him, comes up with the same quality of logo and does it in about 30 minutes to an hour. Do you pay him less?
So that's awesome. And I have been literally waking up at 4:30 in the morning with like cold sweats, wanting to watch like Chris Doe, because he literally explains this in such a good way. He gives two examples. The first example is, and this actually would probably work a little bit better with a whiteboard, maybe, just because you can at least like have a memory jog if you look up at the notes. But essentially, if you take your hourly time and you tell people, hey, if I do this project in half the time, you would pay me half, right? And, you know, you're nodding your head and they're like, yeah, 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 that's exactly what I want. I want to pay half for half the time. And then you tell them, because there needs to be some level of symmetry to that logic, that if it takes you twice the time, then they should pay you twice the amount, right? And it's hard to refute that, because that's literally the same logic as the half price for half the time. Right. So they're like, well, I guess if it fits in my budget, you know, they try to come up with some excuse to not pay you double. And then you just tell them, well, you're valuing my time then rather than how good I am at it. So you can tell them, what you can do is go get some college students, you know, pay a super low price hourly, and they'll get it done in 3 weeks and it'll come out wrong and you won't know why and you won't be able to articulate why. And the project's going to take 3 more weeks and you'll get a logo. None of you will be satisfied. And
you'll go back to the other agency and just pay it.
And you're probably going to go back to the other agency and just pay it. So there's a lot of risk there. There's a lot of time spent. So at that point, too, you take the other agency that's really good at what they do. They do things quick. They strategize and plan effectively. They do the logo in one shot. It takes very little time, and it's because they're experts. And at that point, you're valuing them based on how
good they are.
How good they are, and what the value of that project is to your company.
Because they didn't just save themselves time, they saved you time. Like, why would you punish someone for being more efficient?
Yeah, it just makes sense. And you can tell people that. Like, it's just a symmetry of logic argument.
Yep.
The other thing is too, that with more money, so the larger a company is, the more that they can pay, the more that you can spend that money on risk mitigation and reaching their goals. So you tell them that you're going to increase their revenue by 10%, 5%, 3%, right? And 3% increase of revenue for them is $8 million, $10 million. You know, say you're working with a large client. So a 5% revenue increase is $10 million. And you take 5% of that, 10% of that, and it's like $470,000, $450,000. You know, that's a lot of money that you can use as quote unquote risk mitigation to assure the fact that you're doing all the correct practices, to assure the fact that you're reaching your goal. And at that point, you're working with bigger numbers, and there's less fluctuation because you're working with larger numbers. So it tends to kind of like even out a little bit better. I don't know. It's nice. So pricing on value is pretty saucy.
Man, I'm just going to like give them like what their appetite for, but we just kind of jumped in.
Dude, I could like, I mean, we read the stuff. I think what's really cool about us is that we stay really educated.
Yeah.
On everything. So
we're constantly learning.
Yeah, and I hope that people see that as a sales point for ourselves, not to, you know, toot our own horns here, but
we invest the time into staying current so that we know what we're doing and we, you know, we can get the job done the right way.
Right.
We want to be the quicker, efficient company. And so by learning how to do the job correctly and
have the global company too.
Yeah. For sure, man. Well, dude, I was thinking, man, like, we have got just such a great opportunity ahead of us with this company. And it actually all came about because a smaller company that we've been good friends with actually got absorbed kind of into them. They got bought out.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, these guys were just a really small startup, like a software company. They're doing like VR and 360 degree camera work for auto groups and stuff. And so one thing that I was kind of thinking about is I never would have thought in a million years that these guys could have gotten us one of our biggest opportunities. And so like, I think that one thing that I've been learning this week is there are actually no small fish. You have to treat every single small fish like a shark. Because
yeah, every person could overnight become something huge.
Yeah, or they're connected to someone huge. Like, you always just want to treat everyone with a lot of respect. Like just because you do, you know, just because you're working with a smaller client for whatever reason doesn't mean that they can't, like, yield something amazing later. Like, there's a computer company, like a web development firm, hosting firm, in the Austin area, that we did like a really, like one of our first really small SEO jobs. I mean, we get paid like pennies for it. And, I think we built like a really cheap like website for him one time or something, but we performed to the best of our ability. Like, we didn't treat him like he was a small client. We bust their tail and we try to make things happen and do things right.
Yeah.
And try to have integrity regardless of how much we were getting paid. And now this guy is wanting to outsource to us. Like, he's wanting to sell our services. And he's now
huge.
he's starting to get big clients. That's the thing. Like, he was a small dude. And we're just like, you know what? We just need to treat him right. Like, you never know who he's going to turn out to be. And he is crushing it right now. He's getting all these massive clients out here in Texas. And we met with him for, you know, a burger this past week. He was in town and he was like, yeah, we're wanting to outsource, you know,
online marketing.
Yeah. We want to offer inbound services. And we'd rather just work with you guys since we know you, one, and two, you have always done a good job. So you got to remember that your track record of excellence matters, you know, no matter who you're working for in the size of the business.
Yeah. So it absolutely matters. I want to take a look at the opposite end too, actually. As much as it matters, one bad rating is also not the end of the world too. Mm. So, I mean, and not to say that we have any bad clients or anything like that, but I want to say that for the people that are out there that, you know, you did a job, you did your best, you did your thing, the project turned out fine, and then the client or the customer, you know, ends up leaving you a one-star thing. Like, we had actually literally our first freelance project that we ever did back when we were, like, doing freelance graphic work. We, like, snipered this project. We like, crushed it for this guy. We did all the work that he wanted.
Was this the logo?
Yeah. We did all the work he wanted. We made some extra versions of it for him. We took his took his perspective, took what he wanted, and put it into the logo. And we asked for a review when the process was done. And it was super cheap, too. It was, like, $100. It was, like, a $100 logo.
Yeah, dude.
Like, and we were really just trying to get our feet wet.
It kind of killed my soul.
And... And literally, we were like, dude, we slayed that. Like, we were on top of it. We were timely. We did everything he wanted. And he left us 4 stars. And we were like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we'd still want to work with him again. But, I mean, we got left like a 4-star review. And it was like our very first review. And it was just like, we did everything perfect. Like, we were on top of everything. Like, nothing could have been better.
And on time. Like, I missed no deadlines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just...
And since then, we've made 5 stars on everything, but... We nailed it.
Yeah, I'm so bitter about that to this day. So a little bit of added context. I'm not going to say what the client's name was, but they were a goat grazing service out in Wisconsin, and this dude wanted this, like...
Like, it was like a goat grazing.
It was a goat, and it was almost like a realistic silhouette. And he just wanted all kinds of different stuff changed constantly. And like, it's a realistic silhouette. And it's taking me forever to edit. And I jumped through hoops, man. We're getting paid nothing for it. And he leaves us the 4-star, so.
Yeah. But, you know, similarly, he could have left us 1-star review.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's based on what people are feeling, you know? So don't get discouraged if you're getting low reviews or something. Figure out what's wrong. Make yourself better. You know,
you can
grab,
turn around.
Grab the horns of the bull and, you know, ride through it. Just pick yourself up. You're going to be the determining factor if you start making 5 stars thereafter. Like your first, I'm willing to bet your first 100 clients don't mean anything. If you're planning on going all in to a business, if you're planning on going all in, your first 100 clients probably don't even mean anything. Yeah, they're your roots, but you know, it's also you trying to figure out who you are. So I don't know. That's kind of my perspective on it. What do you think?
I just want to say that Hone is very appreciative for their first 100 clients.
Oh, yeah, dude. We're lucky to have some awesome clients, too.
But. Yeah, for sure. What Attilio is trying to say is do not get discouraged when you fail. Figure out the problems. Adjust them. Kill it.
Yeah, and win after that. So, I mean,
I don't know. Like, I think I don't know, like a lot of craziness goes into like failing in business, and it really like messes with like entrepreneurs.
We were actually talking about this morning, and literally it's from an article that I was reading, but they hit the nail perfectly. And they said that fear and anger are the number one reasons why people fail and why businesses fail. I really like that. And they were saying they like related it to the samurai and stuff, which kind of rung nicely for me because I have always kind of done like traditional martial arts like back when I was really young until like I was really old. so it kind of rung well with me in that, like, you know, they promote being calm. They promote being prepared for situations. And that's how you eliminate fear and anger. So just kind of taking in the whole situation and being prepared for it, understanding that there's worse scenarios. And a lot of popular entrepreneurs now use being grateful to do the same thing. So you be grateful, you tell yourself what you're happy for, and in that way, in that or with that method, you're preparing yourself, you're priming yourself. I think it's really interesting. Do you have a take on it, man?
I don't know. I think entrepreneurship is just a really scary endeavor. I mean, you've got so much risk, and I don't know. I think we fail because we're afraid, and I think we're afraid because we fail. I think it's a cycle, man.
It's almost like you have to be delusional to be successful,
or to feel successful. But I don't know. It's like I know all my faults, and I'm mm-hmm. and I even know you do too. So it's like, you know, I can see you as a success 100%. But on the inside, you'll be like, well, I failed, and you know, this laundry list of things today. You know, I don't know. It's crazy. But like, I would be lying if I didn't say that, you know, I'm afraid to fail sometimes. Like, it's hard. It's a scary thing, but you just got to buckle down. You got to believe in yourself, and you just got to push through.
There's actually this theory I've seen it used for, like, cold calling, right? Because there's such a low success rate. It's like 1/3 of 1% success rate for cold calling. And the thing is that they're promoting you using no's as your quotas rather than yeses. So it's like, oh, dude, how many times did you get no's today? Oh, man, I got 210 no's today. It's like, oh, dude, holy crap, man, you did so well today. And it's just like understanding that failure is part of the process. And looking for no's, like actively knowing that you're going to fail and looking for the failures. It doesn't mean that you're trying to fail. You're trying to succeed, but count your wins by losing, if that makes sense.
For sure. Like, and that even goes for setbacks too, like things that like are not necessarily in your realm of control, but still hold you back. Case in point, I just got a notification on my phone that one of my Facebook ads is taking the freak off right now and our website's down.
Yeah.
You know, and
oh man, is our website down. Dude, I am so pissed off today, man. Dude, we literally wasted a whole day. Plus, I know for a fact that we have two people that were literally referred to us today.
Yeah.
And they had a broken website.
Yep.
Like, straight up. I don't know why we're having trouble with it. We've been having some work get done on it, but,
dude. I don't know. So, the home site's having some big technical difficulties, and it's driving me crazy. And I turned our ad off.
Mark this day. What is today? June 26th.
June 26th.
Fuck me, man. The reckoning or something, like,
yeah, dude.
Mark it on our calendars, the anniversary of, like,
so a bunch of money, a big chunk time of our budget is basically went in the trash can, you know, like, so we're running this ad and we get a call from one of our SEOs and he's like, hey, the site's not working, and we're like, what the heck, and so we look over and we're trying to load it up and it won't,
you know? Well, it was working for us though, that's the problem, because it was cached on our computers. And then even when we erased our cache, we still were able to see the computer. And then we did like geo, like different location visiting to see the page. And they were all broken.
That's crazy. But crazy that annoying. Is, those are the breaks. I mean, setbacks happen. And so that's a very real world example of like a setback that Attilio and I are dealing with actively right now.
Yeah. I straight up feel like we wasted a day.
Yeah, absolutely. The ad is killer and I think it's going to convert really well, but we just got to have the website up.
Dude, I am so mad. Actually, we literally a day was wasted and money was wasted.
Yeah.
It's like so annoying. And today's what? Monday?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause we had to.
Like we're starting our week with this, so I'm gonna have to push the ad back and all that. But I spent a lot of this past weekend kind of like doing a lot of research and getting the ad ready, and I put a lot of time really into the ads I build because I really want to hit that audience right. You know, I want to do it. I understand sometimes you got to use some of your budget to like fill your audience out or even find your audience, but I don't like to waste money. You know, so if I can target correctly, I'm going to. So I spent a lot of time on it. So for the website to be down right now, I'm really, really, really frustrated. And hopefully it'll be up by the time this, episode 12 comes out.
If it's not up by the time this is out, I'm going to figuratively kill myself.
You're going to figuratively?
Yeah. Kill? Like not literally, but like, actually, how can you figuratively kill yourself? No, you can't, but I don't know the expression, dude. I don't know. Like, it's annoying. It's annoying to spend a lot of time on something and have it go wrong. But yeah. At the end of the day, you know, there's always setbacks. And so we just have to know to not change domains in the middle of the day / in the middle of a campaign / when we're about to talk to a really huge client / when we're getting referral traffic from people. So
we've made mistakes.
We'll know that for next time. But
yeah, anyways. I think that's it for today.
Yeah, I don't want to talk anymore. No, actually, I love doing this stuff. It's just, it's like, especially when I'm frustrated, I'd rather just be working because I feel like that's the solution. You know, just put in more work.
What's frustrating for me is all of our campaigns are actually going great.
Oh yeah,
except ours.
Like, dude, remember? Like, I think it was like 2 weeks ago. We had like a bunch of campaign hiccups.
Yeah,
or like 3 weeks ago, maybe. And like, our stuff was going fine, and then now
it's the other way around, where all of our clients are like crushing it.
Yeah, they're like, "There's too many leads," and like, "Oh man, I love what we're doing with the veterinarian company right now too. They just like are scooping us up." But anyway. That's enough rambling. I hope we answered some good questions today. I hope we provided some value.
I hope so. It's been a frustrating day. We're a little brain dead. We're sorry. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to recording more episodes and trying to bring more value and getting better at this whole podcasting thing.
Absolutely. So
without further ado, goodbye.
Peace.